Let's go. Okay, Rabbeisa, it's story time today. We're going to see a fascinating Rashi. It's one of the longest Rashis I've ever seen. It's a great quiz question you can ask around your Friday night table. Where does Rashi's comment basically take you almost from the top line to the bottom line of the Amud? And everybody will immediately answer, well, obviously, Sanhedrin Mem Daled Amud Beis. So it's referring to the story that we mentioned in the Gemara. Oh, Larry, you've changed color now. Completely. Even your sweatshirt has changed color. It was pink a minute ago. Gosh, he's a magician, this guy. Okay, so we saw in the Gemara yesterday, the Gemara made reference to a story but didn't tell us the details of the story. So quite unusually, Rashi goes at great length to tell us the story. Let's just remind ourselves of the background. The Gemara is talking about very, very important and tragic halacha almost. Somebody has been convicted and is about to be put to death. And he vehemently declares his innocence. Not only that, the Edom themselves backtrack. So we say we have a principle that Kiven Shehigid. Once they have given their edus, shuvei nechezo magid, they cannot anymore rescind that. And even if they give what would seem to be a very valid excuse for the fact that they are retracting, we still do not accept it. That was the halacha that the Gemara finished with. And if you look once again in the Gemara, in the last words before the Mishnah, there they are in parenthesis, it says, ki hahu maisa, deboi michsa. Like this story concerning the mikhsa. Mikhsa is the tax collector. Traditionally, tax collectors were never very popular people in Klal Yisrael for obvious reasons. So we're going to see now what exactly, the Gemara doesn't say what the story was. Apparently, there was a story concerning a tax collector in which somebody was convicted to death. The Edom retracted. We did not accept it, and indeed he was put to death. So here comes the story. So bear with me, we're going to learn this entire Rashi.
Wow.
Look at the top of the Amud, Deboi Michsa. Maisa, there was a story. Now you'll see it in your Gemara, in the margin on the left-hand side, it says in small writing, Kol HaMaisa HaLozer. This whole story appears in Yerushalmi in Chagiga. And also in Tosas in Chagiga, however, b'shinui k'tzas, with a small difference. So, al kaponim, Rashi's version of the story that the Gemara is referring to is as follows. So, let's go. So, keep your fingers on the place because it's a very, very lengthy Rashi. Zok Rashi, Maisa b'muchas echod Yisrael rosha echod. We're talking about a Rasha. Like I said, these tax collectors were very often, as the stories go, very unpopular people for reasons because they were very often indeed Rasha'im. They used to oppress people and extort them and maybe steal the money, etc., etc. So there was a story with a Muchas, a tax collector, who was a Yisrael. He was actually a Jew, but he was a Rasha Echad. He was definitely an evil person. Shemes, he passed away. Uboi Bayoim. And on that very day that this Rasha died, also Mace Adam Godel Be'er. So the same time, same day that a Rasha died, there was a Tzaddik who died in the same city on the same day. So now there are unfortunately two Leviyas to take care of. Uba'u Kol B'nei Ha'ir, all the townspeople came, V'nis'asku B'mitose. So all of the B'nei Ha'ir obviously came in the main to deal with the mitah, the bed, the coffin of the tzaddik, who would be interested to attend the levaya of this muchas, this big rasha. However, the kroive oisai muchas, but the relatives of this particular tax collector, hoitziu, they took out gam es mitas hamuchas, acharov. So just immediately following the Talmud Chacham's coffin, and that was the levaya that all the townspeople were attending. Thereby followed the other coffin of the Muchas, which was not very richly attended, but just by the immediate family. So you've got two, as it were, concurrent levayas going on. Now, drama. V'kofetzu aleihem oivim. All of a sudden, in midst levaya, some enemies came and started attacking. V'hinichu hamitois uboruchu. So they just abandoned the coffins, I guess, pikuach nefesh, and they all ran away for fear of being attacked in the middle of this double levaya. V'hoyo shom talmid echod. But there was one Talmud, sheyoshav loy im mitas rabbi. He remained loyally there with the mitzvah of his Rebbe, did not want to abandon the levaya of his great Rebbe, even though it clearly was a dangerous situation. After a while, la'achazman, chozru gedolei ha'ir. So then all the great people of the town, after the whole balagan died down, they all came back, likvor es hachacham. Once again, they're not interested in dealing with the muchas, but they want to now deal with the chacham. Problem is, v'nischalfu lohem, but they accidentally exchanged mitosoi, the coffin of the chacham, b'shel muchas. Yes.
When it says Gedolei Ha'ir, that's like governors or like the Rabbonim.
I would assume Rabbonim, but I'm not
So
sure.
isn't it a mace mitzvah, even if it was a Russia, that they should want to be Oseik, even to bury
Oh,
the
it wasn't
Muchos?
his mitzvah because they said the Kroivim were dealing with him. He had people to deal with his Levaya. It was the Kroivim.
But this is now after they coming back.
Yeah, now they come back. It doesn't say that the Kroivim didn't. We'll see. Carry on, carry on. The story carries on. The Kraven came back as well. It's the next line. So, v'nischalfu lohem mitosoi b'shel muchas. So, in the whole balagan, the coffins accidentally got mixed up. V'hoyo oisoi Talmid. Now, this Talmid, remember, he remained. He's the only one who knows which is the real coffin of the Godel of the Talmud Chacham. Everybody else in the whole balagan, they got mixed up. They come back. There's two coffins. And they start now accompanying the coffin of the Muchas. So, what did this Talmud do? Why is the Talmud tzayik? He started screaming, "Oh, you've got the wrong one." But v'loy hoyil. But it didn't help. So, you've got the whole townspeople all dealing with the Levaya of the great Rosha. The Kroivei HaMuchas and the relatives of the Muchas also returned. What do they do? Kovru es HaChacham. They, meanwhile, also did not know which one was which. So you have a very bizarre and tragic situation that the great Talmud Chacham was not Zeicha to a very prestigious Levaya, and he was accompanied by the family of the Muchas. And meanwhile, the Muchas was Zeicha to a very dignified Levaya, the whole Gedolei Ha'ir there. And nobody knew except for this Talmud. Umitzta'er bo oisei Talmud mo'oid. And this Talmud was very, very distressed about this. What happened? Ma chota, ma chet. Which Aveira could it have been that Goram could have caused likover ze b'bizoyin? What chet could possibly have caused that this Talmud Chacham would end up being buried with such a lack of dignity, just a few people? And on the other hand, Uma Zocha Oisei Rasha, and this Muchas, who was well known as a Rasha, what did he possibly do to be Zoicha Likover Bekovet Godel Kazeh? So again, nobody knew the truth because they abandoned the two mitzvahs and came back and they got mixed up, but only the Talmud realized, and that's why he was the only one who was extremely distressed in both directions. Why was his Rosh a Zeicha to a great Kvura? Why was his Talmud Chacham not Zeicha to a great Kvura? Nireh loy raboy b'chaloyim. So his Rebbe appears to him in a dream. V'omar loy al titzta'er. Don't worry. Nothing to be distressed. I'm doing just fine. Boy, uv'arecho, come, I could show you. Bichvoidi, began Eden, bekovet godel. I can show you now that Baruch Hashem, I have tremendous kovet here in Gan Eden. And on the other hand, bo v'arecho bo v'arecho oisei ha'ish begehenem. And meanwhile, don't worry, this Rasha, indeed he is a Rasha, I can show him, I could show you that he's languishing in Gehenem, v'tzir shel pesach begehenem soiviv ba'oznov. And the hinges of the door of the Gehenem are right by his ears, meaning they're just about to launch him into Gehenem. So don't worry, everybody gets exactly what they deserve. And Baruch Hashem, I'm being zeicher to tremendous kavod in Gan Eden. The Rasha is getting tremendous punishment in Gehenem. But if you wanted to know what happened at the Levaya, he says, Avol Pamachas. Now listen to how scary this is. Shomati Bignus Talmidei Chachomim. On one occasion, I heard somebody shaming Talmidei Chachomim. V'loi mochisi, and I did not make a protest, and that's why I was punished. V'lekach ne'enashti, and that's why I was punished. So if you want to know why was I not zeicher to a big levaya, does that mean that I'm doom and gloomed? No, don't worry, I'm getting tremendous Gan Eden. Specifically with regard to the levaya, well, I must be honest, that was in particular a punishment for having not protested when these Talmidei Chachamim were ashamed. That's on the one hand. That's why I did not get what I deserved. What about the Rasha? Why was he zeicher to a big levaya? V'zeh pam achas, and this Rasha on one occasion, heichin suda l'sar ha'ir, he once prepared a meal for the governor of the city, v'loi bo sahir, and the sahir didn't show up. V'chil ko la'aniyim, and he distributed it to aniyim, v'zeh hoyo schoroi, and that's why he got a reward. So this is the end of the first part of the story. We don't yet see what this has got to do with our Gemara. We'll see. We're going to keep going. So both the Rasha and the Tzaddik, of course, he got his Gehenem, he got his Gan Eden, but specifically with regard to the Levaya, so because the Rasha on one occasion gave food to Aniyim, so he was zeicher to a great Levaya, the Talmud Chacham once heard other Talmidei Chachamim being shamed and he did not protest, that's why he was not zeicher to a Levaya. But after that, he got his Gehenem, he got his Gan Eden.
Rebbe,
huh?
Is there any question that maybe they're talking about Yashka here?
No.
As the Rasha? Because
no.
He called him Oso Ha'ish, I was just curious.
No. Now, the story carries on. Omar Oisei Talmid. Now, this brings it back to our context. So the Talmud says, Ad Mosai Ye Oisei Ho'ish. This fellow, this Rasha, this Muchas, who you say, okay, he had one Zechus, that's why he got a very prestigious Leviathan, but now he's languishing in Gehenim. How long is he going to be Nidoin Bedin Kosher? How long does this Gehenim last for? Is there for eternity, forever? How long is he there for? Omar Loi, so the Rebbe said, Ad Sheyomus Shimon Ben Shetach. V'yikones tachtov. Until Shimon ben Shetach gets killed, or until he dies, and somebody else will take over from him. We'll soon see what that means. Omar loy lomo. Says him, why? What's happened to Shimon ben Shetach? So listen to this mind-blowing, dramatic story. He said to him, Omar loy, the Rebbe said, I'll tell you what happened to Shimon ben Shetach. Mipnei noshim mechashfeniyos Yisraelis sheyesh ba'ashkeloin. What's a mechashif? A witch. We know the Torah says you're not allowed to dabble in any type of magic or witchcraft. And a woman who does so, she's called a machshefa and she's chayav misa. So at the time of Shimon ben Shetach, there were these Noshim. How many? We're going to soon see. There were 80 of them. There were Noshim Machshefonyes Yisraelis Sheyesh ba'Ashkelon, who are residing in Ashkelon, ve'einoy oiseh bohen din. And Shimon ben Shetach is not doing anything about them. So the Rebbe, who's now in Gan Eden, is telling his Talmid that Shimon ben Shetach is destined to die because he's not putting these witches to death. Says Rashi, Lemochor, next day, Siper Oisei Talmid Dvorim L'Shimon ben Shetach. So the Talmid runs over to Shimon ben Shetach and says, "Listen, I've just been told by my Rebbe in Gan Eden that there are these witches in Ashkelon whom are chayav misa, and you're not putting them to death, and therefore you yourself are chayav misa. Ma'osa." So what did he do? He knows he's got to move fast. He's got to now put them to death. Otherwise, he himself is going to die. Kines, so he gathered shmoinim bachurim bale koima. So he gathered in 80 bachurim, eighty young men bale koima, all tall and strong. V'hoya oisai hayoim yoim geshomim. That particular day was a very rainy day. V'nosan kad gedoila b'yad kol echad ve'echad. And he gave each one a large jug or barrel. V'kipel talis b'seichom. And in this barrel or jug, each one of the 80 bachurim has got a folded talis. Remember, talis in the Lashon of Chazal doesn't mean talis as in the way that we necessarily use it. It means some sort of cloak or garment. Va'omar lohen, and he said to them, "Now, hizharu bohen, be very careful, shehem shmoinim, because they're also, there's 80 of them. There's 80 witches, and that's why I've gathered 80 of you. You've got to be very, very careful. Remember, these machshefos, they definitely have koyach. So how are you going to be careful? U'b'sha'o shetikonsu." So Shimon ben Shetach told these 80 people, when you go in, as we're going to see, and they're all in one building, when you go in to take them, yagbia ish achas mehen min ha'aretz. You must lift up one of them off the ground. Why must you lift up one of them off the ground? Because v'shuv ein machshefois sholtois bochem. Then they will not be able to get the better of you for magical reasons, which I do not have knowledge about. These machshefos only have koyach if they're connected to the ground. So if you only lift up one of them, that's why he needed strong, strapping 6-footers. Because if he can now, each one can lift up a machshefa off the ground, if they're no longer connected to the ground, they lose their koyach and they'll have no shlita over you. But if you don't lift them up and you try and grapple with them, well, you're in a losing battle. Loi nuchal lohem, we will not be able to overcome them. Okay, so the stage is set, very dramatic. We now have 80 young, strong men on a rainy day, carrying barrels with a talus in it, and they've all been instructed to storm a building and grab one of the machshefos each and lift her off the ground. Holach loy Shimon ben Shetach. Nachum, you're okay? You've had breakfast yet? You're okay? It's not too dramatic for you?
They're carrying barrels into a building, and then they have to pick them up.
Right, we'll see what we'll see what they do with the barrels presently.
Okay.
Okay, hold on to your seats. I told you this is
I did
dramatic.
not have breakfast yet.
You haven't had? Okay, I hope you get something then in the Waldorf. Holach loy Shimon ben Shetach letraklin shelohem. So Shimon ben Shetach now goes to their traklin, which means goes to their big building. Vehiniach habachurim mibachutz. And he leaves the Bachurim, they're all waiting outside now to enter. Omrullah, you see, he now enters the building, and these witches say to him, "Excuse me, mi atom. Who are you? What are you doing here?" Omalohen, so he said to them, "Actually, mechashef ani, I myself am also a witch or a sorcerer, also a magician. V'lenasoischem bekshofim bosi, and I've come to test you in your magic. This is a international magic competition. You claim you're witches. I'm also a witch. I'm also a sorcerer. I also dabble in this, and I've come to test you." Okay. Omrulai. So they said to him, "Okay, well, show us your skills. Uma kshofim biyotcha. So, what magic do you have in your hand? In other words, show us what you're capable of." Omalahen. So he said to them, "Okay, I can do the following trick. Not called a trick. I can do the following magic. Yecholni, I'm able, lahavi lochem shmoinim. I'm able to bring you 80 young men, atufei talisois, who are enwrapped in talisois, neguvois, which are totally dry, the afal pi shehu yom geshomim, even though it's a rainy day." So, Nachum, that's the answer to your question. They weren't expected to come in holding the barrels. The barrel was just to store the talus and keep it dry. And then he said, "Right, they're going to come in now. 80 bachurim, even though it's pouring torrential rain outside, this is my magic. I can guarantee they're going to walk in the building and their talus will be completely dry." Amrulai, they said to him, "Okay, Hanira, let's see. Sounds pretty impressive." Yotzolochutz. So Shimon ben Shetach now goes outside. V'romaz lohem. And then gives them the sign, "Okay, it's time to come in. Remember the instructions." Min. So they take the talisos now out of the jugs, v'nis'atfu, and they wrap themselves in the talisos, and presumably, of course, they get sopping wet. It's pouring with rain. But the 80 machshefos are all now waiting with bated breath for these 80 bachorim to come in, apparently in dry talisos. This is the way that the 80 are gonna able to access the building. V'nichnasu, and they now indeed entered the building. And before they had a chance to do anything, v'higbia v'ochaz kol echod, and each one of them grabbed hold es achas mehem, one of the witches, as instructed, because now they have no koyach once they're not connected to the ground. V'higbia. Once they lifted them up, then they were able to overcome them, as we said before, because then they lose their koyach. They took them out of the building. V'tolum kulom, and they hanged them all. And they hanged them all. So Shimon ben Shetach now, as he was, had his life saved, because the Rebbe, remember the Rebbe in Gan Eden told his Talmud that Shimon ben Shetach is going to be chayav misa for not taking care of these witches. Well, now he has. Now look at how the two stories now merge. V'niskanu kroivehem bedavar. The kroivim of these witches were very angry with Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach has now arranged that these 80 should be killed. The Niskanu Kraveyem Bedover. Ubo Mehem. So two of the Kravim of the witches come along. The Kivnu Divrehem. And they aligned their words, meaning they prepared their whole story. The Heidu, and they testified Al Benoi Shen Shimon Ben Shotach Chiyav Misa. This is obviously now how we could bring it back to our Gemara. So the relatives, two of the relatives of the witches, were so angry with Shimon ben Shetach. How do they take revenge? They made up some story, which sounded very, very plausible. They prepared their whole Eidos. They testified against Shimon ben Shetach's son that he's Chayav Misa. And they were successful. The Nigmar Dino and the Gemar Din indeed arrived that yes, the son of Shimon ben Shetach is Chayav Misa, even though we all know that he wasn't at all. Lisokil, and when he was being taken out to be stoned, Omar, he is the one who said, and this is what the Gemara was quoting, Im yesh bi oven ze, if indeed I have this Avera, he knew he didn't, then loite misasi kaparli, then I don't want my Misa to be a kapara because I know I didn't do this Avera. Ve'im enoi came, and if I was not over the Avera, tehei misasi kapara al kol avonosai, then may indeed may this death be an atonement for all my Averas, but I'm not forgiving the Edom. V'koilar tolui b'tzavor Edom. But the achrayas, the responsibility, is going to hang around the necks of these Edom who have lied. V'shamu'elu, and the Edom heard about this, and they all of a sudden realize, oh, Gevalt, what have we done? V'chozru bohem, and they retracted. V'nosnu tam l'divrayim. And not only did they retract, they didn't say, oh, sorry, we think we made a mistake. No, they admitted the truth. And they gave the reasoning and they said, Machmas sinas, or they change it to kinas hanoshim. Because we were taking retribution, kino, on behalf of these noshim machshefois, that's why we made up this whole baloney story, but we admit it was all the lies. Va'afal pikein, nonetheless, loy niftar, he was not exempted. End of story. So now, if you go back to the first part of the story, again, I'm not entirely clear. The Rebbe in Gan Eden tells the Talmud that how long will the Rosh have to languish in Gan Eden, in Gehenna, until Shimon ben Shetach dies? And then he's told that Shimon ben Shetach is Chayav Misa. Because he's not putting these witches to death. In the end, he did put the witches to death. His own son suffered as a result. The Edom said, we're just lying, but it was all too late. So again, when the Gemara says that if somebody says that I'm innocent and I'm not prepared for this to be a kapara because I know the truth, nonetheless, it's too bad. And the Gemara finished off with the words, like this story with the tax collector. So again, it didn't pertain specifically to the tax collector, but it's the tax collector's story which triggered the whole information about Shimon ben Shetach, and that ultimately his own son suffered as a result. So even though the Edom said, well, we're lying, too bad. He's put to death anyway. And that is the story. Okay, very dramatic story. Yes, from Nachum.
So ultimately, when the Mishnah says that there's this big announcement, it's only if people can come to disprove the Edom. It's not
Correct.
that the Edom can step forward.
Correct. Maybe
And also,
because the Edom themselves say not, so then we have a principle of Kiven Shehigid, Shuvein Achayzer Amagid. Once the Edom have given their Eidos, they can't now backtrack, even though they give a very plausible explanation, and they said, listen, to be perfectly honest, it was all contrived. Too bad.
and that also goes keneged the overall theme of Hatzilu.
It doesn't go keneged. Hatzilu Eidah means until this point, even though, by the way, it's true, even after the Gemara Din, we do whatever we can. But again, Hatzilu means if we have basis, somebody, like you said, has disproven the Eidim, or we found a tzad zchus that the it was wrong, but for them to retract is not a tzad zechus. A phenomenal principle, a quite hair-raising story. We do have 5 minutes and 34 seconds left, So let's make a brief start to the next Mishnah. So now we're moving forward. We've discussed the sentencing. We've discussed now the vidui, and he's finally ready to be killed.
Rebbe, you understand what we've learned from this story?
That's a question, a challenge. What's I'm not sure
I mean, like,
what.
what have we learned from this story? What was the point of the story? What was what do we what is the bichiddush that we learned from this story? Like, what's
This story demonstrated that even though the Edom backtracked and they said we were lying, too late, tremendous chiddush, that we still put him to death, and they did. And they did. Hoya rochaik mi beis haskila arba amos. Remember, this fellow is being marched out, as we've already learned. The beis haskila was not in Beis Din, it was outside of Beis Din. So now they come to the Beis HaSkila, they're approaching, it's outside the three machanes, and he's four amos away. So he's right, almost there. So he's literally got to get ready to be killed. Mafshitin oisoy es begodov. They now remove his clothes. Now, why do they remove his clothes? So Rashi tells us, and this is a Gemara that we learned already, to the Omar, as it says, Oisoi, you got to stone him, just him, beloy ksusoi, but not with his clothes. So there's a special drasha that taught us that we stone him. It means literally him, his bare body. So mafshitin oisoi as begodov, we now have to remove his clothes. Ha'ish, if it's a man, then at least mechasin oisoi melafonov, then he has to be covered at least in front of him. As Rashi says, ervosei, just his ervo, his private parts, bechatichas beged, with a small piece of material. So even though he's not wearing clothes at all, but at least that part of the guf should be covered. V'ho'isha milfoneho umeachareho, whereas a woman is covered both in the front on her private parts, also in the back. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachomim oimim that no, ho'ish Niskal Orum. The Chachomim say that a man is stoned Orum, unclothed. Ve'ein ho'ish niskeles aruma. But a woman is not stoned unclothed. According to the first opinion, she is unclothed. It's just that particular part of the guf is covered, but essentially she's not wearing clothes. But the Chachomim disagree. Why do they disagree? What are the makoros for all of this? Mitzvah Hashem, we will see at the beginning of next week, and that's the plan, Be'ezras Hashem, to begin on Sunday, Mem Hei, Amud Aleph.